Okay, we're in Proverbs, and I promise to keep an eye on the time for you. So this afternoon, we settled down on the couch to do our Sunday afternoon thing, and my daughter says, let's do something outside. It's too nice. Let's go downtown and paddle boats for hours on end. Oh, we had a blast. We really did. But I'm telling you, I'm going to wake up sore tomorrow. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Got some sun. But wow. Okay. Proverbs chapter 22. Starts out this way in verse 15. It says, foolishness, you know this verse already. Foolishness is what? Bound up in the heart of a child. And so as we're dealing with family, we're now coming to children. And we're going to deal with that foolishness tonight a little bit. Let the Bible define for us what it looks like. What are we looking for? But let's finish out that verse. It says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I'm not asking you whether or not your children are foolish. Of course they are. They're children. The only question is, what are we going to do? How's our response? So can we recognize it and know when it is that we're supposed to respond? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now to glean from your word this truth about dealing with children. And understanding where they are and how to rightly correct them and bring them to a closer walk with you. And we'll thank and praise you now for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just point out the fact that the foolishness bound up in the heart of a child means that you and I should not be surprised when our children act just like children are supposed to act. Okay? So if you've gotten to that grumpy age, no offense on age, but there's a point at which many people all of a sudden forget what childhood is like. And all of a sudden it's like, I wish Pastor would do something about these kids. Well, listen to me. The kids are being just exactly what they're supposed to be. Fools, all right? Now, I'll grant you that we're not supposed to let it go untouched, right? The rod of correction. But don't forget that there's an expectation for kids, and kids are going to be kids, all right? That's just the reality of it. There are advantages and disadvantages. You do not want to be a church with no children, right? You do not want to be a church with no children. A church with no children is on its way to the grave, right? That's not a good place for a church to be. So when we see kids being kids, what we want to do is figure out how to best impact them. Now, granted, we're not all parents at that moment, so we all don't have the privilege of the rod of correction. Do you understand how this works? You think it's bad, and try being a teacher. When I first started teaching, I taught sixth grade for 3 years full-time when I was pastoring here part-time, so that's been 28 years ago, and when I first started teaching, the teachers had a paddle in their room, hung on the wall, and we were encouraged to use it, not just by the church, by the school administration, but by parents, right? If my kid acts up, that's what it's for, the rod of correction. We live in a day and age, and I've taught through that process where all of a sudden then it was like, okay, now we have to have a parent conference to decide whether or not we can spank. And now we have to sign papers and the parents themselves have to come in and do the spanking. And now we're just going to send home a notice and ask the parents to do the spanking. And now we're just going to send home a notice. And now we're just going to pray, you know, which, by the way, maybe we should have started with that one first, right? But we're to the place where now we can't do anything. I'm aware it's frustrating, but in the church, it is what it is. So we want kids. We want them to have, I want tons of kids in the church because kids are the future of a ministry, but they do bring some baggage, and that's what it is. So what we're going to do is walk through Proverbs a little bit. And let God tell us what that foolishness looks like. Because everything that our kids do doesn't demand a rod. Do you understand that? We are to drive foolishness from the hearts of our children. But everything that our kids do that bothers us doesn't demand a rod. Sometimes, maybe I'm the only weak parent here, but sometimes it was less my kid's problem than it was mine. I had a headache. I was tired. I had other things that I needed to get done. Keep filling in the blank. And it was less about the foolishness being bound up in the heart of a child than it was about the time constraints, the stress and the pressure of life on me. And I am not to use my stress as the rod. Do you understand? That's not how this works. But when I recognize foolishness in the heart of my child, I am then to recognize that the rod of correction is what drives it from them. Let's go backwards now in Proverbs. Turn over to chapter 1. For the most part, we'll walk ourselves through the book of Proverbs. Every now and again, we'll skip around because I'm trying to go by topic in Proverbs. But we'll start with chapter 1. Verse 7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Have you ever noticed that about your kids or your grandkids? They don't want to hear you tell them the way they're supposed to do it. Right? They don't want to listen. Why? Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so when you begin instruction and you're trying to pass on wisdom, they're just frustrated with the fact that you're not letting them do what they want to do when they want to do it. And so it's difficult sometimes for those kids to stop and listen. There's a point at which, in order for you and I to help them get over that foolishness, we are going to have to break out the rod. You need to listen to Dad. You need to listen to Mom. We're going to instruct you, and we're going to help you. And the rod of correction does drive this foolishness. But this is what foolishness looks like. So when you've got this kid that is simply rejecting knowledge, rejecting wisdom, rejecting learning, they're playing that part of a fool. In verse 22, still chapter 1, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" God is very kind. He calls them simple ones. You know, that means unlearned. It really does not mean anything really horribly bad. It simply means that because they are unlearned, they are simple. There's a point at which he transfers that word from simple ones to brutish, because now they do know better, and they're still refusing to do it. That's brutish, and it does not mean simple. And I'll let you look that up since we have little kids in here. So, you know, God, but this simple-mindedness, this without knowledge, this willingness to hate knowledge, is a foolishness that we need to help drive from our kids. Look at verse chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." This is what we're supposed to do. So if it takes the rod of correction to lead my child from a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding to understanding, I am to break out the rod of correction, right? Because that's part of foolishness. And foolishness is bound up in the heart of this child. And I do not want my child to stay there. So I break out the rod of correction to help guide my child toward wisdom and knowledge. That's what the Bible tells me. Look at chapter 29, verse 11. Now, I'm going to read several verses here for you. You don't have to try to turn to all these. If you want a copy of them, I'll give it to you. You don't have to try to turn to all of them. But listen to what it says. "A fool uttereth all his mind." Can you tell what foolishness is? We often refer to it as, it's kind of a gross terminology, but, you know, it's diarrhea of the mouth. It's when our kids just don't know when to stop talking. Right? You ever had one of those situations? When they just don't know when to stop. Just stop. You know why? Because a fool utters all their mind. I'm thinking it, therefore I should say it. And they just keep spouting it out. That's foolish behavior. When our children are doing exactly what children do, because they have foolishness bound up in their hearts, right? And it causes them to just keep speaking and keep speaking and not learning how to control this tongue. You and I are not to sit back idly. We are to break out the rod at some point, because it is the rod of correction that drives foolishness from the heart. Listen to what it says, chapter 10, verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of fools, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Chapter 10, verse 18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. Chapter 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. Chapter 10, verse 23, it is sport to a fool to do mischief. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to the next topic. Let's finish up on the tongue. So this concept of the tongue. Now, what do you do if you have an older child? Hard to call them a child anymore. The Bible might refer to them as a youth. And what's the definition of a youth in Bible terminology? Say it out loud. Teenagers. Teenagers into the early 20s. That's what the Bible calls youth. So what do you do if you have a youth and they're still uttering all that is in their mind? What do you do if you have an adult who is still uttering all that is in their mind? You understand? We're supposed to recognize foolishness and deal with it as foolishness. And so it's difficult sometimes because if we don't deal with this when they're young and all of a sudden they're adults and acting in these manners, here's what the Bible says. Two things. Answer a fool according to his folly. And then it goes on the next verse. It says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Do you remember those verses? I can't remember how it exactly goes, but basically it says, if you answer a fool according to his folly, then you're going to be dragged into his foolishness and look like a fool. And if you don't answer a fool according to his folly, then he's going to become proud in his foolishness and you're going to look like a fool. You know what the Bible basically says? You can't hardly deal with a fool. No matter what you do, the outcome is the same. So what we don't want is for these kids who already have foolishness to grow up harboring that foolishness, right? So our job is to recognize the foolishness and then, when necessary, break out that rod of correction because that is what is going to drive the foolishness from their hearts. And that is not, son, let's sit down and talk. That's not the rod of correction. Do you understand? That's instruction. And fools despise instruction. That's foolishness. And it's bound up in the heart of our children. And we've got to drive it from them. The next verse, chapter 10, verse 23 said, it is as sport, to a fool to do mischief. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know what fools? Fools just think that it's fun. It's a game to do mischief. Now, kids doing mischief sometimes can be cute, right? But do you know anyone who hasn't outgrown that? And when adults do it, it's not cute. It's not cute. It's annoying. It's embarrassing. It's keep filling in the blank. It's all of those things, right? This is foolish behavior. It's a game to do mischief for a fool. So a little kid playing this game, you understand it. But it's foolishness. And if we don't deal with it when they're young, it's difficult to deal with foolishness in an adult. Because no matter how you deal with the fool, the outcome is bad. That's what the Bible says there. No matter which way we do it, answer a fool, don't answer a fool, it still comes out bad. Because it's really difficult to... In fact, the Bible goes on to say things like this. That fool... It says, a multitude of stripes is for the back of a fool. In other words, he's going to just keep reaping what he's sown and not learning. That's the fool. We don't want this to be our children. So we've got to deal with this while they're young. Drive it from their hearts, and that requires the rod of correction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That's what foolish behavior is. I'm always right. You're always wrong. Get used to it. That might be cute when they're three. It's not so cute when they're five. And it's really ugly when they're 15. Right? And so we've got to deal with this while they are children, before they become youth, while they are children. In verse chapter 12 and verse 23, it says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. In other words, a wise man knows when to close his mouth, and a fool just keeps talking. Listen, Proverbs 14, verse 19 says, fools make a mock, you know it, of sin. To a fool, sin is funny. Sin's funny. It's a mockery. And when we see that in our children, that they know, have you ever seen this? They're two. And they walk over to the thing that you've told them 1,000 times not to touch, and you've spanked their hand 1,000 times, and they look at you. They look you right in the eye and touch it, and then laugh because they just think it's so funny, right? It's the beginning of the fool who makes a mock of sin. And if we do not cautiously and carefully get out the rod and drive that foolishness from their heart while they're young, now all of a sudden we've got this 27-year-old who's still mocking what sin does to people's lives. And that is not a funny situation. It's going to be a really difficult thing to get out of the heart of that adult. God's trying to help us as parents and grandparents how to deal with this foolishness that's going to be in every child. Every child is bound up in the heart of a child. And that's not so much the condemnation of the child, right? That's just the reality of it. Our job is to recognize the foolishness and then deal with it. So if we see our kids mocking sin, listen to Proverbs 14:16. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a foolish rageth and is confident. He just goes right on. Remember the other proverb where it says, a wise man says, I need to stay away from the lion, but the fool runs headlong right toward him. No fear of what sin can do. Things like this come out of the mouth of a fool. I can handle it. It won't affect me any. I've already gotten victory over that. I don't have to worry about it. No. Those are foolish statements. And so when we start seeing those in our children, we've got to deal with them very quickly. I'm going to rush through this and get done. 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction and regardeth. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. So he despises instruction. 18:2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding. 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, like to start fights, like to cause problems. Not pretty coming out of the mouth of children. 23 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. In other words, this is a tough one. This is really tough. We want our children to understand that wrong is wrong, correct? We want them to understand that. But we don't want our kids to be tattletales, correct? Because what you're doing is you're meddling. You're stepping into other people's business. And so it's a delicate balance, right? We're glad to know that the other kid is doing wrong, but we don't like the way we found out about it. And so it becomes a real parental challenge for us. But this meddling is a foolish behavior, and we need to understand it to be a foolish behavior, because that kind of behavior on an adult becomes really ugly. 21:20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. You know, the idea of has no self-control, in this case when it comes to money, but no self-control in life, this foolish man spendeth it up. Remember that story from Jim Berg's book, Change Into His Image? And it's about the little kid that wants to buy a bicycle. Do you remember that story? And so the little kid gets a quarter every week for doing his chores. And so one week he says to his dad, Dad, I'm going to take my quarter and buy a bike. And dad says, okay, let's go shopping. And so they go shopping, and the little kid picks out a bike. Dad takes it up there, and the little kid says, I'm buying a bike, and puts his quarter down. The dad asks the kid to step aside so he can talk to the cashier, and the dad goes ahead and pays the rest of the bill, right? And the lesson is, in Jim Berg's book, is who bought the bike? Right? Dad bought the bike. But what dad is doing is teaching son something. And this is a big deal. And so he's proud of his son for saying, you know what, I'm not going to just be frivolous and spend my money on candy this week. I'm going to do something with it. I'm not going to just... And so he's trying to teach the son something. And these are important lessons to be learned. And we've got to understand that this foolishness in every one of our children, we've got to help them with it. As a dog, it says, returneth to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. That's that kid. Oh, I remember one time we were here, back in the old building. Kevin and Heather Fannin had a little girl. JD was two. I think I've told you this story. JD was two. She was two. She hit JD in the nursery or something. I don't really know what happened. I don't remember that part of the story. All I know is I come out of church, and I've got two kids crying, and mom and dad are trying to deal with this girl. You're going to apologize today, JD. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. They took her in, spanked her. Bring her back, apologize, JD. No. They took her in, spanked her. We go, I'm not exaggerating. Mel's here. I think we probably went through this maybe 10. I mean, 10. They'd take her back in the nursery, spank her again. By this time, JD's in tears. Mel's in tears. Heather's in tears. I mean, everybody's in tears except for this 2-year-old girl who's taking every licking. I'm not going to apologize. I praise the Lord for parents who said, you know what? We're not going to let her win. And finally, praise the Lord. I'm sorry, JD. Like, great, let's go eat dinner. Let's get this done. But, you know, you've got to be, it's that consistency that's going to be there. And sometimes kids can be so stubborn. They're just like that dog returning to vomit. I don't care. I'm going to take it again. I'm going to take it again. I'm going to take. We've only got one shot to drive foolishness from the hearts of our kids. Because it's really hard to drive foolishness from an adult man. It is. Every woman you know that's married to one of those will amen that one, right? It's not easy to do. Do it while they're young, while they're tender enough to drive in front of them. I'm almost done. A heavy stone, or stone is heavy, sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. There's no rest, whether it's funny or whether it's anger. A fool gives no rest. So the Bible says this, foolishness is bound up in the hearts of our children. And we've got just a few precious years to drive that foolishness from their hearts. Because a fool as an adult is heaviness to his mother, is a shame unto his mother, bringeth reproach upon his father. Read what Proverbs tells me about that adult fool. So let's recognize what that foolishness looks like, and let's get busy helping our kids to overcome this foolishness while their hearts are tender. Father,